Text of scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning is the verse number 15, where Paul says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Romans chapter 8 is one of the greatest chapters, I believe, in all of the New Testament. Paul, in this chapter, the great theme of it is the absolute certainty of the final, complete, and entire salvation of the believer. And as you read through this chapter, you will find that Paul uses argument after argument to establish that great truth that the believer, his salvation, his entire salvation from sin, his ultimate glorification one day in the presence of God, is absolutely final and secure. Wonderful comfort for the people of God. In the verses just before our text here, Paul argues that our ultimate and entire deliverance from sin is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Every child of God has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And the Holy Spirit dwelling within the heart of the believer is an absolute guarantee that we shall one day be finally and completely delivered from all of the effects of sin, that one day we will stand in the presence of God completely glorified, free from all the effects of sin. Verse 9 there, we find that Paul says, "For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If the Spirit of God is not within our hearts today, then we are not saved. We don't belong to him. But if the Spirit is within our hearts, then he will work within us to make us holy. Verse 13 there, he says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And he goes on in verse 14 to say, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." What Paul seems to be saying here is this, that if we are mortifying or putting to death the deeds of sin within the body through the Spirit who dwells within us, and that is absolute proof that we are being led by the Spirit of God to do so. And if we are being led by the Spirit of God, then that is proof that we are children of God. Those who are led by the Spirit to mortify, to put to death the deeds of sin, are true sons of God. So I want us to consider firstly this morning our status. Our status before God, because Paul here in this passage is introducing the whole idea and theme of our divine sonship, the fact that we are sons of God, children of God. You know, one of the most wonderful things that you could ever come to realize as a believer is the fact that you are a child of God. You see, a Christian is not merely someone who has prayed a little prayer, asked Jesus into their hearts, conforms to some belief system. No, to be a Christian, friend, is to become a child of God. Your status before God is that of a son. Now, we are not sons by nature. We're not born into this world as children of God. The Bible reminds us that we are born into this world as enemies of God. We're born with sinful, rebellious hearts against God, hearts that rebel against God, and as a result we are under the wrath and under the judgment of God. Far from being in the family of God, we are born outside of the family of God. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, if you're ever going to be saved, the first thing that you need to realize about yourself is the fact that you're not in the family of God. You may come to this church, you may live a good, upright, morally respectable life in the eyes of people, but dear friend, if you're not saved, you were born not inside the family of God, but outside the family of God. You're born with that sinful, rebellious nature against God, and you are not born in the family of God, but outside it. If we are not born sons of God, then how do we become sons of God? The scripture uses the term here, adoption. We have received, Paul says, the adoption of sons. Now, we're all familiar with the idea of adoption. Whenever a married couple wants to adopt a child, they take a child that is not related to them, and they bring that child into their family. That child becomes one of their own family. A child that's not related to them is taken by them into the family and is given all the rights and all the privileges of being a member of that family, of being a son or a daughter of that couple. That's a wonderful picture, friends, of how God has adopted us into his family. He has taken us who do not belong to him, who were born outside of his family, born at enmity against him. He takes us and he places us in his family. He gives us all the rights and all the privileges of being his true children. Your adoption is a legal action. It's always done in accordance with the law. Whenever a married couple takes and adopts a child, they sign certain papers and the law states that that child now belongs to them. And friends, we must always think of our adoption into the family of God as a great legal action on the part of God. God himself, think about this, God himself, by his own immutable, unchangeable law, has declared that you are now his child. Can you think of anything that is more comforting and encouraging for you as a child of God this morning than to realize that God has declared by his own unchanging law that you are now his child, that you are a part of his family, and nothing will ever change that, because the law of God can never, ever change, because God by his nature is unchangeable. That means, friends, that God has put you in his family. You're in his family forever. No matter what life might ever throw at you, no matter what difficulties or problems might ever come your way, no matter what sickness might come to you or tragedy, my dear friend, absolutely nothing, no matter how great that trial might be, absolutely nothing can change the fact that you are a child of God, that God himself has declared you to be his child. Friends, I know of nothing that is more comforting and encouraging as we face the trials and the difficulties of life. Just to know that no matter what I may have to go through, to go through it all with the confidence and the assurance that I am a child of God, that he has brought me into his family, that his love to me as his child will never, ever change. Our adoption into the family of God goes beyond the human analogy of adoption. You see, God not only declares us to be his sons, but he also gives us the nature of sons. You see, we're born with that sinful, rebellious nature against God. But whenever God adopts us into his family, he causes a change to take place within our nature. We are born again, the Bible says. We are born of the Spirit of God. We are joined to Christ, and if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, and all things become new. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. We are made partakers of the divine nature. We are given a nature that's suited to the family of God. True Christianity has been described by someone as the life of God in the soul of man. It's not believing certain things. It's not making a profession of faith. It's not praying some wee prayer, making some decision, coming forward in a meeting. My dear friend, true Christianity is to receive the very life of God into your soul, where God takes you, he places you in his family, he gives you the nature of a son, a true child of his. That is our status before God if we're saved today. Let's consider secondly the tests here. Because in verses 14 to 15, the Apostle Paul is considering some tests here that we can apply to ourselves to make sure that we are truly sons of God. And if we are true sons of God, to make sure that we are living as true sons of God, living as God meant us to live. I fear that there are many sitting in our churches today who profess to be saved, but whenever the tests of Scripture are applied to them, we cannot say with certainty that they're true children of God. And I also fear that there are many who are true children of God who are living far below what God meant them to be. Many are living with the spirit of bondage, as our text tells us, and not living in the spirit of adoption, whereby they cry, Abba, Father. Verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All true sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Friends, this is the most wonderful thing about the Christian life. You see, we're on a journey through this world. We're journeying through this world to a heavenly land. And as we journey through this world with all that this world brings to us from day to day, as we make that journey through life and through this world, we are being led, we're being guided, not by ourselves, not by our impulses, not by what we think is right to do, but we are being led and guided by the Spirit of God. You see, the unsaved, those who are not in the family of God, what is leading and guiding them day by day as they face life, as they face the decisions of life? They're being led by their own impulses, their own desires, what they think is right to do in each situation. They are guided and controlled by the mind and the outlook of the world. What the world says around them is what they will do and what they will conform to. And dear friend, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, oh, the greatest tragedy with regard to you is that you're journeying through this great journey of life and you're on your way to God's great eternity. And you're being led and guided not by the Spirit of God, but you're being led and guided by your own desires and the things that are pleasing to you and what you want to do. You're being led and guided by the thoughts and opinions of those around you. No, the Bible reminds us that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, the tragedy of being led through life by yourself and by your own desires and by the thoughts and opinions around you, and to be following a course that at the end of your days is going to end in eternal death. Oh, what a tragedy. But for the child of God, for the true son or daughter of God, we're being led not by ourselves, but by the Spirit of God. Our life is being governed, directed, and controlled by the Spirit of God. That's why we're in this service this morning. That's why we have a desire within our hearts to come together on the Lord's Day to worship Him. That's why we have a desire to meet together in the place of prayer, fellowship with God's people. That's why the things of God are precious to us from day to day. It's because the Spirit of God is leading us, guiding us, and directing us as we journey through life. I want to ask you this morning, can you say that your whole life, your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, absolutely everything about you is being led, guided, and directed by the Spirit of God? If you can, and you can know that you are a true child of God. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you will slip up in certain areas. But my dear friend, can you say that the motivating, controlling factor of your life and everything you do is the Spirit of God? Verse 15, we have another test that we can apply to know if we are truly the children of God. He talks about this spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, what does he mean by this? It's the danger of having a slave attitude, where we see the Christian life merely as a set of rules and regulations instead of willing, joyful service to Christ. Instead of a glad surrendering of ourselves to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. You see, the test is this. Is living the Christian life a burden and a chore to us? Or is it our greatest desire to do the will of our Heavenly Father? Is it a form of legalism and Phariseeism, a burden that at times is too heavy to bear? Or is it the greatest longing, desire of our hearts to please our Heavenly Father, the one who has brought us into his family and made us his children? Is it a bondage and fear like a slave who is being controlled and serving his hard taskmaster? Or is it in the language of Exodus 21, the willing bondslave who said, I love my master, I will not go out free, I will gladly serve my master forever. I love my master, I will not go out free, for he is my redeemer. He paid the price for me, I would not leave his service. It is so sweet and blessed, and in the weariest moments he gives the truest rest. Friend, is that what your Christian life and experience is this morning? In what spirit are you living the Christian life? Is it a burden and a chore to you? Or is it the greatest desire and delight of your heart to do the will of God, to serve him, to give your life to him, to surrender your all to him, to give the one little life that you have to him, the one who gave his all for you? Is it a glad surrender of your time and your talents and everything that you have to the one who loved you and died for you? Ask yourself this morning, is it a chore and a burden to wait upon the Lord, to spend time in the presence of God, to meditate upon his word, to get to know God and get to know Christ in a deeper and fuller way? Is that a chore to you? Is that just something that you have to do and get it over with and move on to whatever else you want to do? My dear friend, if that is, if that's what the Christian life and Christian experience is for you, then you really need to examine whether you truly are a child of God. If you truly have that spirit of adoption within you that Paul speaks of here, where you long after your Heavenly Father, where his commands are not grievous to you, but where they're your greatest delight and joy to do the will of God. Is it a burden, chore to you to come to the prayer meeting, to come around the Lord's table, and all the things of God? If it is, then you need to seriously examine if you really have the spirit of adoption within you, if you truly are a child of God. Let's consider, thirdly, the bondage here. For those who are true children of God, it's easy to live the Christian life with a sense of that spirit of bondage that leads to fear. What does that mean in practical terms? This bondage can produce a wrong fear of God. Now, you must say that there is a right fear of God, which is sadly lacking in many of our churches today, that healthy reverence and fear of God that ought to control our lives and everything we do. But there is a wrong fear of God. What the Bible talks about, a fear that hath torment. It's where we regard God as a hard taskmaster, as one who's always standing over us, as it were, with a whip, waiting to just see when we step out of line and ready to crack the whip on us. Sadly, some Christians live the Christian life with that mentality. We need to realize that we are not under the law, but we're under grace. And grace speaks of a loving relationship. And yes, whenever we fail to honor God and fail in some area, yes, God will discipline us, just like a father who loves his child will correct and discipline them, but he will not punish us. And so we mustn't have this fear that God is punishing us for some sin that we have committed. This bondage not only produces a wrong fear of God, but it also produces a wrong fear of the devil. And again, there is a right fear of the devil. In Jude 9, Jude talks about the archangel Michael, who had a dispute with the devil concerning the body of Moses. And we're told that he dared not bring a railing accusation against the devil. We mustn't speak lightly of the power of the devil. Now, the devil is far more powerful than any one of us sitting in this meeting this morning. And sadly, the devil is deceiving many of God's people into living far below what they were meant to be living. Far below what God expects and what God wants of his children. But we can have a wrong fear of the devil. It's where we have a fear of the devil's power and what he can do to us. We need to realize that Satan is a defeated foe, that he has no power over you as a child of God in any area of your life, only if you foolishly listen to him. So this bondage can produce a wrong fear of God. It can produce a wrong fear of the devil. It can also produce a wrong fear of sin within us. Now again, there is a right fear of sin. And if you as a Christian do not realize the sinfulness and corruption of your own heart, then you're a very poor Christian. Those thoughts, those attitudes that spoil your best actions, we need to realize our own sinfulness. But there's a wrong fear of sin. It's where we're always condemning ourselves because of sin. It's that feeling that whenever something goes wrong in life, that God must be punishing me for some sin that I have committed. Friends, we need to realize and live in the glorious reality of the fact that there is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the bondage. But fourthly, the remedy. What is the remedy for this spirit of bondage that leads to this fear? The remedy, friend, is to realize that you are a child of God. To realize your sonship, the fact that you are a child of God, that you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And I believe it is a failure to realize that fact through lack of teaching, through failure to meditate upon the scriptures as we ought. I believe that it's a failure to realize our true sonship in the eyes of God that causes so much miserable failure in the Christian life. That failure to live above the world in sin, with garments white and Christ enthroned within. Failure to live on that high and heavenly plane of sweet fellowship and communion with God. That life of faith and of walking with God. How do we live the Christian life truly? How do we live as those who daily take up their cross, deny themselves and things that they want, die to self and take up the cross and follow Christ? To face sin and temptation, to be victorious over them? Friends, the answer is to realize that we are a child of God, to realize that the Holy Spirit dwells within our hearts, to realize that our standing and our status before God is that of a son, that we have been given all the rights and privileges of being true sons of God, that is our standing before God. And to realize that enables us to live the Christian life as we ought to live it. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7, the apostle said, God sent forth his Son to redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Friend, if you're saved this morning, that is your position. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Think about that. The Spirit of God that indwelt the Son of God when he was here on earth, that same Holy Spirit dwells within your heart to empower you, to enable you to live for God, to enable you to live above the world and sin, to live as God wants you to live. That same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, he has sent forth into your heart. True biblical Christianity is not a mere profession. Oh, how useless is a mere profession of Christianity and of salvation. True Christianity is not merely to be forgiven and then to be left just to live the Christian life in our own power and our own strength. No, my friends, true biblical Christianity is to realize that we are born of God, that God has brought us into his family, placed his Holy Spirit within us, and that we can walk this world in white. We can walk and live in this world with our heads held high as the children of God, living above sin and the flesh and everything else that gets us down and that hinders us from being what God wants us to be. And friend, the burden of my heart as I bring this message before you this morning is that every one of you, saved by the grace of God, children of God, that you might realize, as never you realized before, the position that you are in. You're a child of God. That is your status. Live up to it. A member of the royal family, realizing his high position and status, he lives up to that status. He lives up to that position. And so, my dear friend, as a child of God, you need to realize your high and privileged position as a child of God. And you need to live up to that day by day. The Holy Spirit within us reminds us of our destiny. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Friends, this is the Christian life. The way to get rid of this spirit of bondage and fear is to realize that you're a child of God, that you're destined for heaven, for eternal glory, to spend the ages of eternity glorified in the presence of God. Absolutely nothing in this world, no matter how great a trial it might ever be, absolutely nothing will prevent you as God's child from arriving at that state of everlasting glory in the presence of God. And friend, if you were to realize that, if that were to truly grip your heart and life, I tell you, you would live as God wants you to live in this world. You would live not as a citizen of this world, but as a true citizen of heaven, living above this world and above this spirit of bondage and fear that so many of God's people are living in. May God help you to get rid of that spirit of bondage and fear. May God help you to live as a true child of his, with that spirit of adoption, that spirit that cries out, Abba Father, within you from day to day. Are you conscious every day you get up of that spirit of adoption arising up within you and causing your heart to be led after your heavenly Father? Will you want to live not for yourself, not for the things of this world, but you want to live to please him who is your heavenly Father? May God help us. May God help every one of us to live as true sons of God in this world, faithful to him until that day when we enter into his presence and spend eternity with him forever and ever. If you're not saved this morning, I trust that you might realize your sinful, lost condition. You might turn to Christ, the only one who can save you. May you know, as your experience today, God taking you, placing you in his family, giving you all the rights and privileges of being his child, and spending eternity with him forever. Let's close.